6, Matthew chapter 6. And today we're talking about fathers. And Father's Day always is the one holiday a year that comes up on me by surprise. I never grew up with a dad where we had Father's Day, so I don't, it's just not something that sticks in my mind. I have no memories of Father's Day. And so I get reminded of it through my kids doing things for my Father's Day. And it is a great, great holiday to celebrate. And I want to talk about you have an amazing father. You have an amazing father. Matthew chapter 6, I'll be in verse 24. And I'll read a lengthy passage here through the end of the chapter. Matthew 6 and verse 24 through verse 34. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment, for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't work on making their clothes and worry about it. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and which tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. We'll talk about how great our Father is. Father, I'm honored to preach your word. I'm honored to be just to be a preacher of the gospel, Lord. It's not something I deserve, but Lord, it is something you called me to do. And Lord, I believe you gave this message for us today. It's an important message for us today, Lord. We need this in our day and time. I pray that you would give us the right way of thinking. I pray you'd turn our minds right. I pray you'd help us, Father, to see this subject right. I pray that you'd speak to us, and I pray that thy Spirit would draw us to you. Anybody who doesn't know you as Father, I pray that they would know that today. I pray each one of us would be spoken to in a great and powerful way. And if we're lost, may we be found. If we're found, may we be drawn to you and love you more. And make every decision be done that you would will today, Father. Just speak. We need your help, and we pray you'd help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I was talking to Brother Philbert, who pastors in St. Lucia, but has a heart for the Caribbean. St. Lucia is one of the Caribbean islands that wrap around the Caribbean there and goes down towards South America. And he was telling me about the spiritual warfare he is in. His spiritual warfare is different than ours. Every country is a little bit different, but his spiritual warfare, Haiti is very direct. Their spiritual warfare with voodoo and other things, but his is not that. It's just a little different. They don't deal with voodoo. They don't deal with prosperity that dogs so many American Christians to give God everything in their whole heart and to really seek God's kingdom first. They are dogged especially with sexual immorality. And it's huge there. He said it's just there's a distrust because the dads and the uncles are very immoral and things like that. And I don't want to get too graphic, but he says we have the demons just get settled into a person who is violated like that, and they just are really emotionally distraught. And we have that in America. It's a plague in America, and it's wicked and terrible, and it does damage for a long period of time unless somebody can go to the Lord and get healed. It becomes a tough thing. And we've seen success with it, but it's something that's got to be worked on. And if somebody just comes to church a lot, they'll hear preach what to do with it and things. But it's a tough thing. The biggest reason that it causes so much long-term damage is because it usually affects the way a young person thinks about their father, about their dad. Now, the violation's terrible. The violation's evil. And can I say this? If you're going to do that, go live in the forest away from people. Don't touch a hurt a child. If you touch a child here, we call the police, we prosecute you. Just so you know that. If you ever thought and think about it, we call the police, we help them prosecute you. We hope you get locked up for a long time. Okay, that's what we do. If you touch my kids, you better hope you get to the police before I get to you. Because we don't take that well. And so it's evil. It's terrible. And I'd rather die than to violate a child. Okay? And I know we're in church and stuff, but that needs to be said. People, the law is not hard enough on those people. They're not afraid. We need to be real careful. And you need to be healed. You need to get some intense counseling. You need to get it fixed. If that's you. It's wrong and evil. This thing when the father idea gets messed up, and sometimes there's not that kind of violation, but dad abandons them. Or dad leaves mom for some other woman. And all of a sudden, what happens? The devil is so good at this. He skews the way that we think about God. First about men, and then about God. See, God says, here's what I am to you. I'm your heavenly father. When you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. We are to see God as a father-child relationship. And that should be a healthy, happy, wonderful relationship. I like it that my kids, they want to snuggle me. They tend toward me. If I'm standing there, they walk up and lean against me or hop in my lap or whatever. I want that. Because that should be a wonderful, securing, happy relationship. That's what it should be. And if you've had that, can I say, if you had a good dad or you have a good dad, make sure you appreciate him, call him, thank him. He could have been 1,000 other things. And no, he wasn't perfect. I can already tell you. There's only one perfect father, and that's God. I messed up so many times as being a dad. I could have done better. I wish I'd have done this. I forgot to say this. I said this too hard. Listen, we're not perfect. Neither are moms. Neither are kids. Okay, if you have a good dad, appreciate him. But we need to understand that all of us, every one of us, my dad left when I was 4. My dad was an alcoholic. My dad left. But you want to tell you, I'm very secure in having a father. I have a father. It used to bother me when I was a kid. My neighborhood was everyone around me, all of my friends, all of them, and this is the 80s, all of them in late 70s. I know I look 20, but I'm not. Everyone had mom and dad at home, except for me. I was the one kid in the neighborhood who didn't have mom and dad at home. And of course, my brothers and sister were from a different dad. And they would say to me, "Well, you don't have a dad." And that always hurt me and offended me because I did have a dad. Of course, I couldn't defend him very well. He never called me, disappeared, never saw him. But I thought I do have a dad. I wanted to have a dad because there's something in a child that longs for a dad. Now, I didn't get that dad until I turned about 16 years old and became a Christian. Then I got a father. And fortunately, I got the father who never fails, who never messes up, who never does wrong. I got a perfect father. Now, I later on went and tried to find my father and my earthly dad and tried to find him. Couldn't find him. He was an alcoholic and on the streets a lot. And I've hired a PI to try to find him. Couldn't find him. Looks like he's passed away. But you know, I'm not all insecure because I never knew my dad. I was willing to find him and talk to him and tell him about the Lord and let him meet his grandkids. Didn't work out. But you know what? I don't sit here and say, poor me. I have a great life. I'm very happy. I'm very secure. I'm doing just great. But I wasn't. I was a mess before I found Christ. I'll give you a bunch of statistics. I was those statistics. I was the worst kid in my junior high. I was the worst kid in my grade school. I was in trouble. I was on the way to destruction. I was running from police. I was in all kinds of trouble. But thank God I got a father who straightened me out. I was a mess, though. I was a mess in my mind, in my emotions, in the way I thought. And I want to say this, unless you get the father thing right, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Well, let's read you some statistics. I just wrote down a few of them. The statistics are stunning. We got real good statistics now because America decided a stupid thing in the 90s. They decided, you know what? Single motherhood's great. You don't need a man. And nobody ever tried. They didn't try that before. They just said, let's just try that. They ruined millions of children. It was a disaster. But it took a generation to see how those kids turn out. When we got the statistics back, we said, this is way worse than we could have dreamed. Way worse than we could have dreamed. Here's just a few statistics of fatherless children. 63%. Now, fatherless children are a small percentage. I don't got the exact percentage with me. It's a small percentage of the population. The majority of people are with mom and dad. Okay? Now, eventually, some of those get divorced, but in any given day, the majority of children by far are with mom and dad. And even in the worst case scenario, they still have dad and mom. But they go back and forth, which is not good, but it's better than no dad. Unless the dad's really bad, and we'll get to that. But considering the statistics, it's a small percentage of fatherless children. It's not the majority by any means. 63% of suicides are by fatherless children. Of all ages. Doesn't matter if you're 30. When they look at the suicides, they look at your background. 63% of suicides don't have a father at home. 90% of runaways and homeless teenagers are from fatherless homes. 90%. A fatherless child has 20 times the chance for behavioral problems. 20 times more likely behavioral problems. 14 times more people who are rapists with anger problems don't have dad at home. So it's 14 to 1. If you go into prison and find the rapist, you'll find 14 to 1 they didn't have dad at home. 71% of high school dropouts are fatherless homes. 9 times the national average. If they have a dad at home, they are 40% less likely to repeat a grade in school. That's a high percentage, 40%. 75% of adolescents who are in chemical abuse centers, 75% are from fatherless homes. These are amazing statistics. That's 10 times the national average. If you have a dad at home, you're 7.5%. No dad, 75%. It's amazing statistics. You say, well, what's with the moms? What's the statistics with the mom? We don't have good statistics because they usually have mom. There's not a big a sample. And by the way, take out mom, it's a disaster. God made a man and a woman. And many times... And we'll do it for you. We've done it many times over the years. If you're a single mom raising a kid, I just want to say this. You need men in his life, especially a boy. We'll bring him to my house. They'll wrestle with the boys. They'll play. They'll climb things. They'll break things like boys should do and destroy things. Let them destroy my house. It's okay. And we got a big yard. We take kids in and we're not taking them from you, but we'll take your kid out to lunch. We'll take him to pizza. We'll take him and talk to him. We'll go to his school on a special. Why? Because they've got to have men in their life. They have to. It's a rough go. The statistics are terrible. The odds are terrible. Fathers are very important. I want to talk about our Father in heaven and how good he is and how good of a father he is, because some people, their father impression is not very good. Sometimes you get a bad husband and a husband's abusive and bad, and you begin to think God is like that, because God also represents himself as the husband and we're the bride of Christ. And so we get the same way, and we skew our thoughts of God. And so somebody will come to me and here's a lady, and she's saying, I just don't feel like God loves me. Okay, God says he loves you. Romans 8 and John 3 and many other passages. We can show you. God says, I love you with a perfect love. I just can't feel that. I just can't believe God would love me being who I am. Immediately, I know there's a scar. There's a scar. Because what happens As you thought, I must be wrong and something must be wrong with me, or my dad would have loved me or wouldn't have left my mom or wouldn't have went out and done this, but there's something wrong with me. And many times those girls go into immorality. The reason they do that, or they go into a gang as a boy, many times they do those things. Why? To find someone to like them and accept them because they're wounded. And single moms beget single moms for more reasons than their mom is like that. They're trying to find somebody to replace with the image they had. And so they can't think of God properly because they're wounded. Okay? Now they can. Healing happens all the time. But you have to rethink the way you think of God. God was not like your dad that abandoned you. Okay? God says neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can't do anything to make God not love you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't love you because you were so incredible. He loves you because he loves you. And he is love. It's who he is. He just loves. He loved the worst person who's ever lived, and he loves you. He accepts you. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, we are accepted in the beloved. God is not a man that he would abandon, that he would disappear, that he would not love you anymore. You've got to understand who your father is. If you can get who your father is, you can do what I did, is get very secure and healed and not need people acceptance and not need anything. I don't need anybody in this room to like me, agree with what I'm saying right now. I don't need you to, I don't need a big church. I don't need anything. I have my father. I'm not trying to win the people over to me. I'm not trying to do it. When you're secure, you're secure in who God made, and you who God loves. You don't need somebody to tell you you're good or you're okay. Now, there's times when people need that and things like that. But I want to say, a secure child with good parents, they're happy they have mom and dad. They don't need to run off into foolishness as much. Why? Because their mom loves them, their dad loves them, they know it. That's why parents, mom and dad, you are representing more than just you. And you need to grab your child sometimes and squeeze them and say, I love you so much. I will always, and let them feel secure. Why? It's going to help their minds and how they think of God. You ought to, don't just tell your kids once a day you love them. I mean, it gets old. I love you. No. Grab them and look them in the eye and make them look at you and we're wiggling and doing everything. Look at me. I love you so much. You're so great. They'll be very happy kids. Tell them you love them. Express it. Don't always just talk to them when you have to correct them. Praise them when they do something right. When they're doing nothing, say good things to them. Praise their high character. Don't let them only get your attention when they're being bad. Listen, I know what toddlers are like. I know what two-year-old boys are like. Duct tape. That's what you use. Duct tape. But I know what they're like. You know what? Don't just scream at that kid. You find out if you love him, you don't need to yell as much. And I know you love him, but I mean, they know. Matter of fact, they'll get to the point where they're afraid to disappoint you instead of just afraid of you spanking them. I'm not against spanking. But I want to say, when your face shines on them with happiness a lot, when your face goes, I can't believe you did that, the kid is hurt that you're disappointed instead of threatening all the time. But this message is not on parenting. It's on our great father and loving him and understanding how great we got it. Number one, what's our father? Just notice, first of all, he sees the good. Look back in Matthew 6. He sees the good you do and rewards you. He sees the good you do and rewards you. Verse 1, just notice how he says this. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. God notices what you do good. Verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He sees the good you do. He rewards you. And I think that's, by the way, everything I'm going to say, this is a great father. It's everything that we should be as dads and as moms. we should notice the good that our kids do. I don't think that's a bribe them. Don't bribe your kids. To do things, simple obedience should be simple obedience. But when they do something over the top, they do something extra nice, they write a note, they're nice to their brother, they share their toy, you make sure you praise them and reward them because God notices the good we do. You know, bad dads, many times, their words are only correction and harsh words. Why don't you do this? When I was a kid, I did this. You shouldn't do that. All you ever do is do this. You never do anything right. He never does anything right. It's a pretty big statement. I think more likely you notice never notice anything he does right. And he's getting your attention by doing wrong. God notices the good we do. Our Father in heaven, he's referred to our Father in heaven. When you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. He notices the good we do, and he rewards us, and he's proud of us. A good parent makes their kids feel like they can please him. Now, listen, I know when you were a kid, you used to walk 10 miles in the snow uphill both ways. I know that. And you lived in a one-way dead-end street and still found a way out. Okay? I get all that. You'll get that later. And so all you can tell is how weak your kid is and how pathetic that you're going to give that kid big insecurities. You're going to mess up his mind. Now, he doesn't have to walk uphill in the snow both ways. Neither did you. And our Depression-age people are going away. Most of you didn't grow up in the Depression. Those people did that stuff. It wasn't uphill both ways, but it was 10 feet of snow somewhere. And but you know, we have a way when we're proud people of selective memory. You never did anything wrong as a kid, huh? Let's talk to your mom. Oh, he was a terror. Then they got stories to tell. Why? Because we, when we want to be proud and feel good about ourselves, rewrite our history. Now, some people are just great kids always. Now, listen, I don't tell my kids, man, I never did that. My wife tells me, don't tell them that story. And as my wife always tells me, don't tell them that. And, but you know, you need to let your kids be able to make you happy, be able to impress you. They go out. My son Timmy, he loves, you're here, he's here. Timmy loves to fix things and work on things and drill things and screw things and cut things. He works on things all day with his hands. And when my daughters, they might be go work on something, and they're working on whatever they're working on. They might build something or plant something or whatever. And you know what? I can always find how it could have been done better. I'm older than them. Do you know that angle is not quite correct, son? Look at this, it's terrible. We dads sometimes are ogres. And no, praise them. Wow, that's a great idea. Praise your daughters. Tell them how great and virtuous and how beautiful they are and how wonderful and how a hard worker they are. By the way, they'll want to do more. But you got to notice the good. The Bible says a firing pot for gold and a firing pot for silver, so is praise to those that receive it. In other words, when you praise people, they melt and you can mold them. You got to praise them. You can't just say, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this. It gets old. Your three-year-old isn't perfect when he writes a note. He makes his letter backwards. You don't say, Johnny, that's a backward S. That's a snake, not an S. You know? No. Praise them for what they do. And make them able to please you and reward them for what they do. Number two, he hears and answers your prayer. Verse 6, I'm teaching you where our Father is, and maybe we can learn some things, but I just want you to know how good a Father you have. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He rewards and answers your prayers. Has your prayer, the Lord, for some reason, wants to spend time with us. And so he says, I want you to go in secret and just you and me be together. And let me say, as a good parent, have individual time with each of your kids. That's hard to do, isn't it? I got 7. It's hard to do. But you know what? If you will take time with each one of your kids, and I take my kids, Timmy and I work together on a lot of projects. I'll take my daughters, each one, even I think Ronna was the last one I took, and she's 4. I took her down to Dairy Queen. They might as well enjoy it if I'm going to take them. And so I take them down to Dairy Queen, and we share. And we have a Dairy Queen, and I order her something, I order me something, and then I finish off with it. I order her something giant so she can't finish it. And then I have to finish her, it's going to leak in my car. And I order that for her, and I take time with her. Your Father wants to be alone with you. God likes you. He wants to spend time with you. He says, hey, I really want you to go into your closet, shut the door, and be with your Father. And I will reward you openly. If you will have an alone time with me, I want to be with just me and you. Your Father wants to be with you. He wants to be alone with you. And he wants to be like that. Next, your Father knows what you need. Verse 8, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. He's a good father because he's always watching out for his children. He's seeing when the need's something. He's seeing what the need is. He is not... Ooh, you ready to get me get in trouble? We voted during Sunday school. How many people want me to get in trouble? Okay? And we had a vote, and it was unanimous. Everybody wanted me in trouble. Okay? And how many want me in trouble right now because I'm going to get in trouble? Okay? How many don't want me in trouble because I'm going to get in trouble here? All right? Watching TV is not quality time. Playing the video game all day is not spending time with your kids. I love my kids. I spend a lot of time with them. Your kids are cutting their sister's hair right now, and they're not supposed to be. But you killed 45 zombies. Spend time alone with your kids. Pay attention to them. Look at them. Look at them. As I drove the bus this morning, all those kids piled on. We had 17 kids on there this morning. 17, yeah, it's a few teenagers' kids. I've learned which kids have a dad problem. I'll see it first Sunday. I've been working with kids for a long time, and I'll see them. And I have a hard time getting those kids to look at me. And I'll make them. Say, come here. Come here, kid. I'll call them by name. How was your week? Oh, no. Say, look at me. What? I said, I love you, man. You're great. How was your week? Oh, it was okay. Man, I got kicked in the head during soccer. I said, oh, I hate that. Man, that hurts. That hurts a lot. Yeah, man. Look at me. It's all right. Did you kick him back? No, I don't say that. And so, why? Because they're not used to their parents paying attention to them. They're not used to their kid, their parents really. Listen, poorest areas I go into, and I've been in the poorest areas all around, they got big screens. Always. And mama's doing this. Her thumb is literally surgically implanted on that thing. If she let go of it, her hand would fall off. Or dad or whoever. And kids just say, I'm leaving and going outside and messing around. What happens when kids walk around outside and go play around and do nothing, have nobody watching them? They get in trouble. They want somebody to notice them. And so they had that. And so he knows what you need. Pay attention to your kids. Ask him how they're doing. Know what their needs are. This kid right now needs a little more time, a little more attention. Sometimes they act bad because they need more attention right now. And you don't. They start screaming and yelling, and you walk over and hug them. No. You don't do foolish things and give them a license and give them attention. But you say, you know, as soon as you calm down, we're going to go outside and go in the swing. We're going to walk down to this. But you learn to give them attention and know their needs, know what's going on in their lives, know what they struggle with. I have 5 daughters. I don't know what girls struggle with. I have hair problems too, but they're different. And I don't really know what they struggle with. But you know what? Sometimes they just want to tell me. And my mind says, that's weird. But I say, oh man, that must be tough. Because you know their needs. You know what's going on in their lives. You're paying attention. Number 4, he brings consequences. Tipper 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Listen, God said, if you will not forgive people, I'm not going to forgive you. I'm going to back at you. I still love you, but you know what? You're going to know what it's like for me to say, nope, not answering that prayer. Nope, I'm kind of angry at you, just like you are at them. See, God gives consequences. Let me say this. We need consequences nowadays. And don't give me this counting thing. One, two, the kid's disobeying you. Come here right now. One, two, I'm gonna come get you. Two and a half, two and three quarters, two and seven eighths, two and 15 sixteenths, two and 99 and one hundredths. Listen, your child disobeyed you at every step. When you train your kids right, you say, come here, and they get up and come. If they don't, you give them consequences. Once you got obedience established, then they can be a lot more free, because you know when you say stop, they'll stop. But you have to give them consequences. They have to pay a price. The price of doing wrong has to be up here, where they're going to say, I'm not going to do that wrong again. That wasn't worth it. Okay? If they do this much wrong and you do this much consequence, if you ever do that again, I'll... No. And by the way, spare the rod, hate the child. Spank them. Don't abuse them. It's wrong to abuse a child. Don't beat them. Don't do that. Never discipline when you're angry. Wait till you're calm. Okay? I send my kids to the bathroom. I like to sit down while I work and spank them. And so I send them to the bathroom. And so I send them in there. And you know what? I wait till I'm calm. I don't, you stupid kid, whack, whack. I'm like, no. Don't blow your top. You calm down a little bit. By the way, if they know what to expect, big parenting tip. When they know what to expect, what I say to my kids, since we've had it written down and they know if they do this, this is going to happen, I just go in there and say, why did you choose to get this spanking? I didn't choose to spank them. It's automatic. You do this, you get this. You do this, you get this. You do this, you get this. I don't blame the stove when I reach my hand in there and burn myself. It's kind of expected. So consistency in saying this is the consequences. If you do this, this will happen. Pretty soon they say, you know, I know what's going to happen. If you don't do that, they say, you know, I could probably get away. I'll talk my way out of it. Or they'll threaten me next time. Or they won't want to get off the couch. And then you got a disobedient child. He gives consequences. The Bible says he does it for a reason, not because he's mad. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He does it because he loves us. And you spank your kids because you love them. Because you want them to learn consequences. Kids who don't learn consequences become criminals. Because they don't expect consequences. I've been in the jails. I've been at RJC more times than I can count. I've been in downtown Seattle. I've been to juvenile on James Street. I've been to the Kent Municipal. I've been to the jails around here too many times. Federal prison right up here on 202, 200th. Been to these places. Been in jail ministries for 20 years. Usually, they're sitting there going, I can't believe I'm really going to spend this long in jail. Why? Because when they were four and grabbed their sister's whatever and yanked this or pulled this or stole this, mom and dad said, don't you ever do that again. And all of a sudden they're 21 and they think, I'll do this, but I'll get away with it. And if I get caught, you know, they always do a plea bargain and, you know, they put you on probation. My friend got caught, nothing happened to him. And pretty soon the deal goes bad and they shoot somebody. And pretty soon, no, I can't go to jail for 20 years. He doesn't believe consequences are coming. Kids who are raised right understand if I do something bad, something bad's probably going to happen. Now, they might choose to because they're humans and humans are dumb. They might choose to, but at least they'll know something's going to happen. They've got to understand consequences. Next, he is a father who provides our needs. Let's see, Matthew 6. He's a father who provides our needs. Verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet the heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not ye much better than they? Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He says multiple times, verse 32. He says, for after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of these things. I'm not preaching on women working right now. I'm not talking about that. I just want to say, it changes the whole dynamic when the man's not providing. I know that though I work, God ultimately supplies my needs. He gives me the strength to work. He gives me the job. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. I know that my God shall supply my needs. If I don't have a job tomorrow, which after this sermon I might not, but I know that if I don't have a job tomorrow, I know God will provide my needs. Because I'm relying on my Father in heaven. Okay? Now, if Dad doesn't, my kids are going to know that because I've always provided their needs. My wife worked until we had kids, then she didn't work anymore. But when he had kids. And why? Because they see Dad. And you know what? A good dad, the kids don't worry. No good to your kids. Kids, I don't know what we're going to do. We don't have any money. We're going to get evicted next week. No. You be secure. You be strong. You find a way to do it. You have some courage. Don't be a little cowardly, little whiny thing. You be a man. Okay? And you go out. Boy, I'm getting everybody mad in this sermon too, aren't I? And I'm just on a roll today. And you go and you provide. And don't whine to her, work more hours if you can't provide it. And women, don't spend all his money if he's working. Okay? Listen, you don't need 400 pairs of shoes. 312 is fine. And but you don't need 400 pairs of shoes. And if he's struggling, you don't need to. There's this white appliance in your house. It's got little round things on it like this, and it's called a stove. And if you turn the little dial, that thing turns on, and you can cook food. And you don't have to go through a drive-thru to eat. Can you believe that? Or you don't have to call the pizza delivery place and say, why can't we pay our bills? Because you eat out all the time. That stove is an amazing contraption. You don't have to use a wood stove on a hot day on the prairie. It's pretty nice. And you can bake things and cook things, and you can buy cheap things. They're really cheap. And you can even not cook some things. There's things like apples and oranges or these exotic fruits you put in your mouth. And you can eat those things and save a whole bunch of money. It's good. And you know what? If you work together as a team to get the bills paid and save money here and there, man, it's great. You're a family as a team. And by the way, the kids can even help out. The kids can help. You know, families used to work together to raise the farm. Kids, well, it's not in the sermon, need to learn to work young. Don't expect them to become a worker at 18. Ain't happening. They'll be getting fired left and right. Teach them when they're little kind. Hell, when mom's vacuuming or dad's vacuuming, have little Johnny come and push the couch out of the way. Teach him to work. Teach him to work. And so we want to, the man, we should be the, like our Father in heaven. We know our Father's going to provide. And man, it is hard to provide today, especially on a single income. It's tough. I understand if kids are in school, mom needs to work a little bit, but when those kids are home, somebody needs to be home with them. Don't let the babysitter or the daycare raise them. Next. Father is who knows and provides needs. He sees what his family needs. And don't whine if he can't give you 3 baths and 4 bedrooms and a nice car. No. Food and raiment, be content. You got a roof over your head, got food in your stomach, got water, you're good. Be happy. Enough clothes to wear. Next, he wants to and will give you the good things you ask for. Matthew 7. The Lord wants to. He's for you. He wants to be a good daddy. He loves you. He wants you blessed. He wants you to thank him. He wants you to be happy. And he wants to give you good things. He just says, just ask me. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and him that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man of you is there of you, whom his son asks bread, he will give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I want to say this. It's a good thing. Be a blessing to your kids and understand your Father wants to answer your prayers. Now, he doesn't give them to whiners, okay? My kids know if they cry for something, the answer is no, period. They never get anything by whining or crying. Change your tone, you're not getting anything like that. But if they ask for something, I want to give it to them. Don't you want to do good things? Don't you wish you could? I don't know about you and just my situation. I wish I could give so much more to my kids. Unfortunately, we're compared to the Joneses, aren't we? And raising kids nowadays, man, every kid's got an iPod, E-pod, A-pod, B-pod, C-pod, D-pod, every other pod. I don't let my kids hang around those people, by the way. I just don't. They get covetous. And those kids are whiny and bratty. You know what's so funny? We take those kids, we take them to camp, we take them to our house, let them run around a yard, dig holes, climb trees, build forts, shoot bows and arrows at each other or whatever we do. And William Tell's fun. And all the things we do. And we do all these things. You know what? Those kids come home, they go, oh, Mom, I'm so tired. That was awesome. Why? Because you don't need that. They're just coveting. They don't need, they already have a PlayStation 27. They don't need also a Xbox 42. They don't need all that stuff. You know, if you would just spend time with them. Should I tell you, that there's these old things. They used to ride dinosaurs and they play these things called board games. And you actually talk to each other. Dad would be the banker because he'd steal money. And all those things you would do. And you know what? It was fun. You guys spend time together. You talk to each other. No, don't text each other when you're on the other side of the house. What did my kid sound like? I don't remember his voice. What did he sound like? Son, what does your voice sound like? Send. No. He wants to give you good things. He wants you to ask. He wants you to talk to him. She wants you to talk to her. Your father wants to give you good things. God wants to bless you. You know that? You know God wants to bless your life? You know God is for you? But he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He says, if I gave my son for you, I'm obviously for you. If I let my son die for you. I want to bless you. God wants to bless you. You need to spend time alone and praying to him. Next, he is willing to be anyone's father. John 1:12, but to as many as received him, to then give you power to become the sons of God. I've had way too many times, I'm not comfortable with it, where a kid from a bad home, and we started giving them some time and helping the mom or helping the dad, whoever it's, what the situation is, where that kid starts calling me dad. I'm not comfortable with that. I want their dad to be their dad. I want to reach their dad and help the dad to be a good dad. I want to do it. But, you know, they want that. When I was 16 years old, somebody came and told me about Jesus Christ, how he died for me, rose again. He was the way to heaven. I wasn't. I was a sinner, needed saved, needed Jesus Christ. I prayed and accepted Christ as my Savior, and I got a father in heaven. Greatest thing that ever happened to me. The greatest thing ever happened to me. I found out, but to as many as received him, whoever will say yes to Jesus when he wants to save them, God will make them his child. I've had kids in troubled families live in my home. We've done it multiple times in very careful situations. We've done it when mom and dad are just, sometimes mom's dropped, come by and said, hey, we are having troubles and she shouldn't be here. Can you take her in for a few months? This is not going to be pretty. And we've had other, just all kinds of situations. You know, we're glad to receive that kid and help him. The kid didn't do anything wrong. As a matter of fact, that was probably the wisest thing the mom or dad did. Just say, let me get the kids out of this. It's violent. And get them out of this. And they should have security at home. Home should be the haven from the mess out there. They might go to chaos at school. They might go to chaos in the neighborhood. When they come home, love, security, peace. Take your fight in the bedroom. Take your rolling pin with you. And swing quietly. But keep it. The kids should feel like mom and dad love each other. And by the way, I smooch in front of my kids with my wife. Let them see marriage is a good thing. And we like each other. Amen, men? Amen. All right, good preaching there. And so that's good. woke some men up finally. Matthew 6, he says, your Father. Matthew 6, 1, your Father which is in heaven. It's personal. Verse 4, thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father. It's personal. God is not distant, he's personal. And verse 6, when you've shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and thy Father. Your Father, he's your daddy. Verse 8, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Romans 8, God has given us a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba is like daddy to us. It's personal, it's intimate. God's personal. He's a Father who's personal with us. And he does that. He's your Father. He's willing to be anybody's Father. You know what? Your dad might not be someone you can even contact anymore. And there are times where I say, you know what? I don't think you should contact him. He's going to hurt you. He's lost that right. Okay? Maybe if he gets saved, becomes a Christian, turns his life around, give him 5 years. You know, right now you need to get a different father. You need to have a father. But that one there is too harmful. That one's too harmful. He's going to skew your thought of your heavenly Father. You know, many women are not affectionate with their husbands because they don't love God enough. The Bible says your body is not your own. Same with a man. Give each other to each other physically. But you get the wrong idea of men, and we've attacked manhood, and the dad is always a goofball and an idiot on TV, and who needs men, and men are bad. And so pretty soon, it's just like this thing of, oh, no, respect a man, respect a woman. They're both important. Give them what they need. Be kind, be sweet, and be unselfish. Next, he's especially close to those whose earthly father has failed. Let me take you to Psalms. God is a especially close father to those whose father has failed. Psalm 27. Isn't that great about God? And he says, you know what? You got a daddy problem. Let me become your daddy. I'll be closer to you. I mean, God reaches down to those who's got a dad problem and wraps his arms around them. If you said today, I can't be around my dad. I can't think about my dad anymore. Lord, he hurt me. He wounded me. He did this. You say, God, I need you to be my father. God will come down in a special way because those who have a parent and a dad there, he says, you got one. It's good. I'll be your heavenly father. Love that one. Be honor that one and enjoy that one. That's good. But if they're not there, it's not right, then God comes down and says, you need a father. I'll be your personal close. Watch how he says how close he is to those who don't have fathers. Psalm 27 and verse 10. It says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Isn't that good? When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And then Psalm 68. God is especially close father to those who need it. And you don't have to be a victim of bad parenting. You can have bad start, great life, if you let God be your father. I know it. Without God, it's a mess. With God, you've got a father who can meet your needs and help you and straighten you out and give you security and peace and a great life. And you can be a great husband someday, a great wife someday. You can have your life together, be secure and stable and happy. Don't listen to the devil. God will help you. He will be your father. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God will help you. Psalm 68 in verse 5. A father to the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. He's a father to the fatherless. Of course, in Haiti, there's orphans everywhere. In the town we're in, they had a flood come through town, 2008, killed 6,000 people. There are diseases, there's cholera, there's dysentery, there's earthquakes, there's every kind of thing. It's a nightmare. And many times the parents die, the kids go away. Sometimes the parents abandon the kids because it's a mouth. And they can't feed themselves. There's orphans everywhere. And I walk by those kids and you just look at them and you can many times tell they're an orphan. Just walk up to that kid, rub his head. ¿Cómo y? Bien? It's good. Shake his shoulder and the kid just lights up. remember one day when I was in Haiti, we were out in the boondocks, and we were getting ready to get on a bit more of a side road, way out in the boonies. Kid comes up, and he's standing there walking down the road, and all of a sudden he talks to the guys in the back of the truck. I was in the back of the truck, and he says, "Da da da da." They hop in, and the kid hops in the truck, and then this is 9 a.m. The kid just stays with us the rest of the day. I mean, we go to church, to another church. I mean, way out in the boonies, another church. 8 o'clock at night, the kid's still with us. And they said, "Who's this kid?" And they said, "He's just some kid. He has nothing to do. He's an orphan. He's just walking the streets. This is more fun to him, and he got to eat with us at the houses. Just some kid." We saw a little boy named Moses there. They named him Moses because, and I'll show you a picture of him. You have a picture of Moses? Okay. I got one on my computer. Or a video. Moses is 4 months old now. Moses, when he was born, was thrown in the pile of garbage. And somebody found him and brought him to Brother Hanan. And now he's 4 months old. He's dying. He was very sick. Now he's healthy. They called him Moses because Moses was brought out of the water, out of the garbage. They needed Moses. And Moses, 4 months old, beautiful little guy, bright eyes, good-looking little guy. You know, Moses does not have to live his whole life. Now, he won't know who his parents are ever. No chance. All to know is they abandoned me. She abandoned me, or he, whoever, somebody dumped him off. You know, Moses can have a great life. He's around those who are going to show him about a heavenly father. Somebody may adopt him someday. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I just know that there's nobody who God doesn't want to reach down in a special way and said, "I'm a father to the fatherless. I help those in need." If you need a father, he looks at me and he said, "You need a dad. You're a mess. You're in a lot of trouble." And he came down and became my father. I want to say this. If your father, when my father and mother forsake me, if your parents aren't what they should be, don't live in bitterness. Don't think about them all the time. Just look beyond them and say, "I got a heavenly father who's a really good one. I'm okay." Don't spend time reopening old wounds. Enjoy your father you have right now. He's a good father. He's a perfect father. Your Father in heaven. In the Lord's Prayer, when you pray, say, "Our Father which art in heaven." Start off understanding that he's a father who loves his children, wants to meet their needs, wants to be a blessing to them. That's a good deal. I'm so glad I have a father. And I hope today on Father's Day, if you have a dad that you could appreciate and you can do anything, send him something, write something, call him, do good things for him. But if you don't, enjoy your Father in heaven. All of us need him. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you. You receive us, Lord. Thank you to as many as received him. To them give you power to become the sons of God. Lord, you teach us a perfect example of a father. We're not always perfect like you are, Lord. We mess it up. But I thank you that not only do you show us how to be a good father, but you are that to us. And every one of us needs you as our Father in heaven, even if we have a father on earth. But some of us need you to be our Father right here, right now. And I pray today that each one of us would love you and look at you and not live in bitterness at who disappointed us, but just look past them and look at you. I pray today if somebody doesn't have a father, they would get a father. I pray today if somebody's not saved, they would receive you and you'd become their father. Because Father, though you love them, you're not their father until they receive you. I pray today you'd help us to get these thoughts and understand them and enjoy the blessings of being underneath a perfect father. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just